This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
He wasn't the type to sugarcoat anything, so I won't sugarcoat this. This is devastating. Now my son will grow up without his father. I will grow old without my husband. And his parents have to say goodbye to their child. How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them?
God, I love that lady. And had the fortunate opportunity, thanks to the head of the DEA, my friend Paul DiGiacomo, to speak to that lady, Stephanie Diller, on the phone last night.
You know, I tell you,
I speak to millions and millions and millions of people throughout the year. Millions. I've been in movies. I do TV. And I admit I was nervous when I was on Imus's show. I was nervous the first time I was on Stern. I was nervous last night when Paul DiGiacomo said, we're going to do a three-way conversation. Hold on, I'm going to bring Stephanie back. I was nervous. What do I say to her, you know? I don't know her. I sat in that church at the funeral. I cried. I feel like I know her. I want to know her more. I want to know her husband more. I want to know all of it more. And we had a really, really good five-minute conversation. I believe that she'll be on this show on Friday, which will be a can't miss, of course. But the reason I was at that funeral that day was because of Bruce Blakeman and this man, especially Peter King, who is just one of the best people ever, ever. And I vowed that I would not allow people to forget Jonathan Diller's name. And if and when she does come on Friday, Stephanie, that'll be the case. With that said, here he is, the great congressman, my dear friend, Peter King. Pete, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Always good talking to you, Sid, and you're really doing a great job. Any way you can give her a platform. I mean, Stephanie, the eulogy she gave that day was so moving, and it was from the heart, but it was also from the brain. I mean, it was everything that you'd want, and it was just a great, great statement she made that day, and it really put people on notice. But as you said, too many politicians and people in public life, media people also, they feel they can be sad for one or two days, shed a few tears, and then go on to, you know, go to some festival and talk about some woke right or who's being oppressed and who's not being oppressed, and forgetting the fact that cops are out there every day putting their lives on the line for the rest of us. So thank God for what you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate that, Peter, and I really do. And thank God for you and bringing me and Danielle that day and getting to know them just a little. I'll say this. You know, Curtis and I keep complaining that nobody's talking about Diller anymore, and they're not, except I will say that I get a bunch of messages on my Instagram and Facebook from Long Island natives that say, well, that may be true in the boroughs and in New York City, but we're still holding rallies. We still have events in Massapequa and other towns for the Diller family. Is that true?
Yeah, the people of Long Island, people of Massapequa, Seaford, Wanta, all those communities are absolutely still focused on this. It means a great deal. Sorrow is there. You still see the blue ribbons. You still see the signs up for Jonathan Diller. No, it's definitely there. But I guess what we're talking about is the media, the people who try to influence public opinion. In fact, many people, I would say, many people in the media want to get people's attention off this and talk about some guy who claims he was mishandled by a cop somewhere.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's what they want to focus on.
You're exactly right, and it's nauseating and frustrating. We've got to put you back on hold for 2 seconds. We're going to come back and spend a lot of time here with the great Congressman Peter King, just discuss the Diller family, but so much more to discuss with Peter, which includes the world. Because don't forget, Peter was not just a congressman, but he was a major part of Homeland Security. What's going to happen next? Don't change the dial. More with Peter King coming up.
Never come down. It's good to be king of your own town. Let the world swing. Oh, if I were king. Can I help you if I...
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
I pick up my money and head back into town. Driving
I believe in the promised land. Now, talk about the promised land before I get back to Peter King. I would like to physically, with my own bare hands, beat the living daylights out of every single pro-Palestinian rallier. I really would, with my own hands. I'd love to beat them close to death. Except for a few. Except for the ones that end up at the White House. Like yesterday, with their stupid red hands and their shirts. Why do they allow those people in there in the first place? Do they think they're going to walk in and sit there quietly? Then they make a whole big spectacle of themselves. Then they got to throw them out. But the best part is watching this moron, and she is one dumb bastard, this Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. She tries to explain it away. And, you know, they're so careful at the White House for what they say because they'd rather see a dead Israeli than lose one vote in Dearborn, Michigan. Yes, I just said it. I'll say it again. They'd rather see a dead Israeli than lose one vote in Dearborn, Michigan. So they allow these animals to come into these meetings, and they got to stop. So, anyway, Peter, I want to ask you about something that is exclusive to Nassau County, I guess. And I think Bruce Blakeman is up for this. If I'm wrong, correct me. Talking about deputizing citizens, allowing citizens to carry firearms and help the police. Nassau County, what's the story with that?
Yeah, my understanding is that these would primarily be people who have experience in law enforcement or the military, who are trained in the use of weapons, and they'd be more like a reserve force. If they were needed, if something came up, if there's development, if they were needed in certain communities, Bruce could activate them, I think. They would be working through the sheriff's department, deputy sheriffs. But again, I don't see anything imminent, but you know, they are trying to, again, in the event that it's needed in certain communities, you know, Bruce can explain it better than I can, but I know that he's putting effort into it. He started the procedure about a month or so ago, and it's to get people who, again, do have experience, who do know how to handle weapons, who do have experience in law enforcement and the military, and they'd be trained for certain, you know, specifics. I don't think they'd be used very often, if at all, but they will be there as reserve. But again, I would really defer that to Bruce to give a more detailed explanation of it.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen New Bridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen New Bridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
You know, I was just talking about these pro-Palestinians right before you came on and talked about Bruce Blakeman. And, well, I hate these people. I do. And they're out there every day in New York and D.C. They're all over the country, you know. And you saw this person, this animal. I don't know who this person was. He was holding a rally in Michigan. And yeah, he was screaming at the top of his lungs to many supporters there. Death to America, death to Israel. Death to America, death to Israel. And Peter, I just had Siggy Flicker on the show. Right, and she said, you heard it. She said, to the Jewish people, they're going to come for you Saturdays, that's Shabbos. And to the Christians, they're going to come to you Sundays. And I think she's right. And you see this animal in Michigan yelling and screaming, death to America, death to Israel. How do we allow these events to happen in our country?
I say it really shows how the country is deteriorating. I mean, just imagine if during World War II you had people out there overtly praising Hitler, you know, praising Nazism, being anti-Semitic, being anti-American, denouncing the country. Listen, under the First Amendment, there's certain rights they have. But for the media to treat them as being normal, as just being part of the normal debate, you couldn't do that on a race issue. I mean, the media would not be covering somebody out there who was making anti-black remarks, anti-Asian remarks, anti-lesbian remarks, anti-gay remarks. But when it comes to being anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, they get a free stand. They can go out there and say whatever they want, and they're covered as being legitimate. Like, on the one hand, okay, you have the Israelis. It's a democracy. They're God-fearing people. They work hard. They're strong allies of the United States. On the other side, you have murderers. You have terrible people who are butchering people. But the media treats them as if they're equal, as if it's two different sides, like it's the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, it's disgraceful. and it's a deterioration of the country's culture. So just imagine if you're a kid in high school today and you're watching this. Okay, it's okay. You have the Israelis on one side. You have the Palestinians on the other side. You know, let the best man win, that type of stuff. No, there's good and there's evil. It's not often in life that something is definitely good and something is definitely evil. But in this war right now in the Middle East, Israel is definitely good. Palestinians and Hamas are definitely evil. And for people who say you can't hold the whole Palestinian people responsible, the fact is every poll shows that 70, 80, 90% of the Palestinian people support what Hamas did October 7th. And what they did was it's beyond description. What Hitler was doing.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because really outside of me and Alan Dershowitz, nobody says that, you know, and I'm glad you just said that. This idea that these are innocent Palestinians and they don't want Hamas is just factually wrong. They overwhelmingly support Hamas. And when the Hamas, when they were taking Israelis back to Gaza after they kidnapped them, abducted them, raped them, they were civilians were smacking the hostages across the face. They were handing out candies and dancing in the streets. This idea that most of these Palestinians are innocent, they're being used as human shields, they want to get out, is factually untrue. So thank you for saying that. On the way out, one of the best things you ever did in your magical career. You're nervous, I know. But I mean this. I believe it's true. I believe you were the one, Lewis, you're going to love this. I believe Peter King was the man that signed the lease at the Nassau Coliseum, which enabled your New York Islanders to win those four Stanley Cups. Now, it was over a century ago, 19 presidents ago, and everybody's dead, but it was King. And now the Islanders beat the Rangers last night, and if the season ended today, they're a playoff hockey team. Are you still big into the Islanders?
Oh, yeah. The Islanders are great. And the irony is, in fact, listen, that was more like a Forrest Gump moment for me. I was a deputy county attorney working on the lease. And there was also, you know, the owners of the Islanders signed it, the county executive signed it, and so did I. But I had a form of approval, so down in the lower left-hand corner is my, you know, my signature. So, yeah, I take credit for that. I bought the four Stanley Cups to the Coliseum. But, no, in all seriousness, show you how things have changed. That time, Roy Beau, he owned the Islanders and the Nets. I remember him saying that he hoped that someday the Islanders would be half as popular as the Nets, because the Nets were really, you know, they had Rick Barry then they had Dr. J, and they were considered, just superstars. Hockey was not that big on Long Island in those days, and they didn't know whether the hockey was going to take off. Boy, did it take off, and the players they had. Now you go with Podvan and Smith and Gillies and Trottier.
Bossy, all good guys, Mike Bossy.
Mike Bossy, Bobby Nystrom, and these guys, so many of them ended up living in the community, being part of the community, being involved with youth groups. I got to know Bobby Nystrom a bit over the years, Clark Gillies, you see these guys. They were great guys. They really were. And Al Arbor, one of the greatest coaches ever. So, no, I'm with the Islanders all the way. Now my crazy son, Sean, besides liking you, he also likes the Flyers and you too, and Oasis and all this stuff. But I'm there with the Islanders. I'm with the Islanders. I'm with the Mets. My son is still with the Mets, but how he went with the Flyers, how he goes with Sid Rosenberg, and how he goes with Oasis, I don't know. It's all beyond me.
He likes the Depeche Mode. I love Sean's musical taste. I really do. I love that kid. Well, listen, it's going to be a very exciting last week of regular season hockey as the Islanders try to make that last playoff spot, and the Rangers look to hold off Carolina and Boston to win the President's Trophy. Peter King, as always, amazing appearance. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid.
Great job. That's Peter King.